You now have 1 minute to read the questions. The recording will then start automatically and play once. You cannot pause, rewind, or fast forward the recording.
Scotland is one of the most beautiful parts of the United Kingdom, with tourists flocking to Edinburgh Castle, Loch Ness, Ben Nevis and Arthur's Seat every single year. However, one of the most stunning sights in Scotland has to be the magnificent Loch Lomond. Loch Lomond is one of the largest lakes in the United Kingdom, measuring 36.4 kilometres, 22.6 miles long, and between 1 and 8 kilometres, 0.62 to 4.97 miles wide. It's big, alright? In fact, Loch Lomond and Loch Ness, together with Loch Awe, Loch Morar and Loch Shiel, possess around a third of all lake water in Scotland. But most importantly, Loch Lomond is an icon of the Scottish tourism industry. There are many reasons why Loch Lomond is so famous. One reason is the famous song, The Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond, which has been sung in and around Scotland since the Jacobite Rising in 1745. And we've all heard about the Loch Ness Monster. Well, Loch Lomond has its very own monster too. Yes, numerous reports of enormous crocodiles have been spotted on several occasions. Finally, Loch Lomond lies on the Highland Boundary Fault, a fault zone in the Earth's crust that separates two types of terrain. As a result, the area attracts geologists from far and wide. Due to its iconic status, any developments around the treasured landmark are strictly controlled by Loch Lomond and the Trossachs National Park. Nothing happens at Loch Lomond without the park authorities' say-so and consent. But this hasn't always been the case. The national park has only been in existence since 2002, but different times had very different needs. Just after the Second World War, the mountains around Loch Lomond were surveyed so that engineers could build roads on the mountains above Loch Lomond. During the build, they reached a small stretch of water named Loch Sloy. This was the start of an ambitious plan to build hydropower schemes throughout the glens of Scotland. A hydropower scheme utilizes the potential of running water and transforms it into energy. Such schemes can power things such as appliances and lighting in an average home. The faster the water flows, the more electricity is generated. Not long after, the ground at Loch Sloy was formally broken. For the next 5 years, the workforce drilled and blasted. There were 21 fatalities before the work was completed. Through a network of pipes and aqueducts, water from nearby was brought into Sloy, doubling the size of the loch and providing a vast and deep basin of energy, ready to be released. By 1950, the power was flowing. Within 20 years, the Hydro Board had constructed a huge network of hydro schemes throughout Scotland, making some of Scotland's waterways some of the most managed in the world. But then, in 1978, the Hydro Board turned its attention to the much-loved Ben Lomond, a mountain in the Scottish Highlands. The Hydro Board wanted to run a series of hydro pipes down the mountain's face, but for many Scottish people this was a step too far and an act of vandalism. As a result, a protest group called the Friends of Loch Lomond was formed.
Do not press continue until you are ready to move on to the next section of the test. You now have 1 minute to read the questions. The recording will then start automatically and play twice. You cannot pause, rewind, or fast forward the recording.
Good morning, Brighton Best Hotel. My name is Harry. How can I help you?
Good morning. My name's Paula, and I'd like to arrange a surprise party for my best friend's 40th birthday. I'd like to hire a room for the event, and then book a few more rooms for people to stay the night.
Well, you're speaking to the right person. I'm the events manager at the hotel.
Wonderful. So you're the man who can help me?
Yes, of course. But I need to ask a few questions, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
You said that you wanted to hire a room. We have three hire rooms available. The Bloomsbury room, which is the smallest we have. The Sackville room, which is the largest we have. And finally, the Turner room, which is somewhere in the middle. How many guests do you think will be attending?
I think probably around 50, but maybe a little more. Let's say between 50 and 60.
The Turner room then. It accommodates up to 80 people.
Yes, that sounds great. How many tables can you fit inside the room?
We usually do 8 tables with 10 chairs at each table. You don't have to have 10 chairs at each table. You could have more on a table and less on a table. The tables are quite big. 10 just works best, and it's an even number. 9 chairs can be a little tricky, but then 8 tables and 8 chairs also work. All you need to do is design the seating plan and allocate who sits where.
I can do that.
And what about food? Are you having a buffet or a sit-down meal?
A buffet, but I haven't organised anything yet.
We can organise the buffet for you. However, a buffet means more space, so you should probably book the Sackville room, as it's bigger. You don't want to feel cramped.
Yes, that makes sense. How many people can the Sackville room accommodate?
The Sackville room accommodates around 120 people. We usually do around 12 tables with 10 chairs at each table.
Maybe I can invite some more people then.
Sure. The extra space is also good for live music and, of course, dancing. Have you thought about that?
No, I haven't actually, but maybe a live band would be nice. My friend also loves to dance.
I have a list of some local Brighton bands that have played here. Would you like me to send the list?
Yes, please. That would be very helpful.
What kind of music do you prefer? Jazz? Pop? Rock? Metal?
I don't like metal, but rock and pop would be great.
Okay, can I take your email address?
Yes, it's paulalemon@socks.com.
Is that P-A-U-L-A?
Yes, Paul with an A at the end.
And lemon like the fruit?
Lemon like the fruit.
And is that socks, S-O-X, or S-O-C-K-S.
S-O-X. Yes, that can be confusing, can't it?
And strange if it was S-O-C-K-S. Okay, you said you wanted to book some rooms too. How many rooms did you want to book?
I'd like the most expensive room you have for the birthday girl.
Wow, you're a great friend.
You only turn 40 once. I would also like to book 10 more rooms. Many people are coming just for the evening and then driving back home. However, some people would like to stay the night in Brighton.
Yes, of course. I can book the penthouse, which is the whole top floor, for your friend, and then I can book 10 double rooms on the floor below. Or, if you prefer, I can book the whole floor so that the two upper floors are for you and your guests only.
That sounds expensive.
Well, apart from the penthouse, each floor has 12 double rooms, so it'd only be two more rooms added on. I can also do a little discount.
That's kind. Okay, let's do that.
Oh, wait, you haven't told me the date.
Sorry, it will be the 26th of June next year, starting from around 7 p.m. Is that possible?
Yes, that's fine. That's also my birthday. What a coincidence.
No way! Well, maybe you should pop in for a drink.
I will definitely come and say hello. Although maybe one of my friends will have booked me a surprise party.
You never know.
Okay. Well, I think that's everything I need to know for now. To confirm, that's the Sackville room, the 26th of June next year, from 7 p.m. Around 50 to 60 guests, but possibly more. There will be a buffet, which we can arrange, and a live band. Is that correct?
Yes, wonderful. I can't wait.
Leave this with me and I will send you an email later with some prices along with the band names. I'll also send you some menus so that you can think about what you want for the buffet.
Thanks, Harry. You've been so helpful.
No problem. That's my job. Have a nice day and speak to you soon. Good morning, Brighton Best Hotel. My name is Harry. How can I help you?
Good morning. My name's Paula, and I'd like to arrange a surprise party for my best friend's 40th birthday. I'd like to hire a room for the event, and then book a few more rooms for people to stay the night.
Well, you're speaking to the right person. I'm the events manager at the hotel.
Wonderful. So you're the man who can help me?
Yes, of course. But I need to ask a few questions, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
You said that you wanted to hire a room. We have three hire rooms available. The Bloomsbury room, which is the smallest we have. The Sackville room, which is the largest we have, and finally, the Turner room, which is somewhere in the middle. How many guests do you think will be attending?
I think probably around 50, but maybe a little more. Let's say between 50 and 60.
The Turner room, then. It accommodates up to 80 people.
Yes, that sounds great. How many tables can you fit inside the room?
We usually do 8 tables with 10 chairs at each table. You don't have to have 10 chairs at each table. You could have more on a table and less on a table. The tables are quite big. 10 just works best, and it's an even number. 9 chairs can be a little tricky, but then 8 tables and 8 chairs also work. All you need to do is design the seating plan and allocate who sits where.
I can do that.
And what about food? Are you having a buffet or a sit-down meal?
A buffet, but I haven't organised anything yet.
We can organise the buffet for you. However, a buffet means more space, so you should probably book the Sackville room, as it's bigger. You don't want to feel cramped.
Yes, that makes sense. How many people can the Sackville room accommodate?
The Sackville room accommodates around 120 people. We usually do around 12 tables with 10 chairs at each table.
Maybe I can invite some more people then.
Sure. The extra space is also good for live music and, of course, dancing. Have you thought about that?
No, I haven't actually, but maybe a live band would be nice. My friend also loves to dance.
I have a list of some local Brighton bands that have played here. Would you like me to send the list?
Yes, please. That would be very helpful.
What kind of music do you prefer? Jazz? Pop? Rock? Metal?
I don't like metal, but rock and pop would be great.
Okay, can I take your email address?
Yes, it's paulalemon@socks.com.
Is that P-A-U-L-A?
Yes, Paul with an A at the end.
And lemon like the fruit?
Lemon like the fruit.
And is that socks, S-O-X, or S-O-C-K-S?
S-O-X. Yes, that can be confusing, can't it?
And strange if it was S-O-C-K-S. Okay, you said you wanted to book some rooms too. How many rooms did you want to book?
I'd like the most expensive room you have for the birthday girl.
Wow, you're a great friend.
You only turn 40 once. I would also like to book 10 more rooms. Many people are coming just for the evening and then driving back home. However, some people would like to stay the night in Brighton.
Yes, of course. I can book the penthouse, which is the whole top floor for your friend, and then I can book 10 double rooms on the floor below. Or, if you prefer, I can book the whole floor so that the two upper floors are for you and your guests only.
That sounds expensive.
Well, apart from the penthouse, each floor has 12 double rooms, so it'd only be two more rooms added on. I can also do a little discount.
That's kind. Okay, let's do that.
Oh, wait, you haven't told me the date.
Sorry, it will be the 26th of June next year, starting from around 7 p.m. Is that possible?
Yes, that's fine. That's also my birthday. What a coincidence.
No way. Well, maybe you should pop in for a drink.
I will definitely come and say hello, although maybe one of my friends will have booked me a surprise party.
You never know.
Okay, well, I think that's everything I need to know for now. To confirm, that's the Sackville room, the 26th of June next year, from 7 p.m. Around 50 to 60 guests, but possibly more. There will be a buffet, which we can arrange, and a live band. Is that correct?
Yes, wonderful. I can't wait.
Leave this with me and I will send you an email later with some prices along with the band names. I'll also send you some menus so that you can think about what you want for the buffet.
Thanks, Harry. You've been so helpful.
No problem. That's my job. Have a nice day and speak to you soon.
Do not press continue until you are ready to move on to the next section of the test. You now have 1 minute to read the questions. The recording will then start automatically and play twice. You cannot pause, rewind, or fast forward the recording.
Speaker A. Every year I go skiing, usually to a resort in Europe so I don't have to fly too far. I just love being active, so a skiing holiday ticks all the boxes for me. I'm outside in the fresh air, I'm getting exercise, and I'm improving my skiing. It's my favorite sport. It's not that I don't like holidays in the sun, but I get fed up with sitting around on a beach. Plus, I live close to a beach, so it's much more different and exciting for me to be in the snow and in the mountains. I know skiing is an expensive sport, but I economize on other things over the course of the year so that I can afford it.
Speaker B. Most years, I save up all my annual leave and take a whole month off in one go, although it means I don't have many breaks during the rest of the year. When I do take a holiday, I get to fully relax and forget about work. It also makes long-haul flights more worthwhile. I've been to Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa in recent years. Once there, I usually hire a car so I can see a lot of the country. I enjoy sightseeing, and local culture, and cuisine. I also try to take some really good photographs while I'm abroad.
Speaker C. My favourite kind of holiday is a city break. I usually do at least two a year, somewhere in Europe, as you can get good deals with budget airlines for short flights. When I'm there, I enjoy spending the days exploring the city of my choice. I spend a lot of time on my feet, but I think that's the best way to explore. You see more interesting sights if you're on foot, wandering around back streets, away from the tourist hordes. But of course, I do also enjoy seeing the main sights. There'd be no point in going to Paris and not visiting the Eiffel Tower, for example.
Speaker A. Every year I go skiing, usually to a resort in Europe, so I don't have to fly too far. I just love being active, so a skiing holiday ticks all the boxes for me. I'm outside in the fresh air, I'm getting exercise, and I'm improving my skiing. It's my favorite sport. It's not that I don't like holidays in the sun, but I get fed up with sitting around on a beach. Plus, I live close to a beach, so it's much more different and exciting for me to be in the snow and in the mountains. I know skiing is an expensive sport, but I economize on other things over the course of the year so that I can afford it.
Speaker B. Most years, I save up all my annual leave and take a whole month off in one go. Although it means I don't have many breaks during the rest of the year, when I do take a holiday, I get to fully relax and forget about work. It also makes long-haul flights more worthwhile. I've been to Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa in recent years. Once there, I usually hire a car so I can see a lot of the country. I enjoy sightseeing, and local culture, and cuisine. I also try to take some really good photographs while I'm abroad.
Speaker C. My favourite kind of holiday is a city break. I usually do at least two a year, somewhere in Europe, as you can get good deals with budget airlines for short flights. When I'm there, I enjoy spending the days exploring the city of my choice. I spend a lot of time on my feet, but I think that's the best way to explore. You see more interesting sights if you're on foot, wandering around back streets, away from the tourist hordes. But of course, I do also enjoy seeing the main sights. There'd be no point in going to Paris and not visiting the Eiffel Tower, for example.
Do not press continue until you are ready to move on to the next section of the test.